Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Holy shit. You're now locked into the Facts for Trying podcast, season 3, episode 10. Yeah, that's right. It's part 2. Yeah, that's right. It's me with Hannah Ines Flint, intrepid film journalist, critic, podcaster, host. You know all of that already. This is part 2, which means I've decided to split the episode into 2. Really elongate it and to really satisfy my OCD tendencies so I can finish season 3 on 10 episodes. Isn't that fucking smart? So that's what I'm doing. If you're at home and it's still before Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. If it is after Christmas, Happy New Year. Happy 2021. Enjoy this part 2 of the episode where we sound more and more fucking wrecked as it carries on. So yeah, enjoy that, and I'm sorry if I offend you. Big up.
I sound good.
Oh, right, I'll press record. We just had like an hour long break, or a week long, or 2 days. I don't even know when I'll release this.
It's 2033.
The year is 20. Look, so the tradition, even if this is episode part two or not, we've got to do a shot, except this one is the first time I've ever done a shot of Kahlua.
Kahlua, yeah. I made White Russians the other day, so I've got a coffee liqueur in the most fanciest shot glasses that look like mini wine glasses.
They're delicious.
Maybe I should take a photo and then.
All right, we're going to post it. Let's do it
quick for the gram. Me. Oh, God, hand. Great. Okay, you ready?
I'm putting on a smile, but it's not a smile. It's like,
it's good.
So if anyone vomits today, it will be
okay.
Me.
Here we go. Cheers. Non-social distance touching.
Oh, cheers. Air cheers. It's actually delicious. I think I made a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, you were like, oh God, it's too much. But it tastes like,
it's fucking delicious. I want a whole bottle. That's good. That's fucking delicious.
Yeah, I'm cutting you off.
I'm cutting you off.
No, I can get you some more.
Happy Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. If you're at home, avoiding your parents who you have a very troubled relationship with, shout out to yourself. If you are at home in your room and you've just watched Muppet's Christmas Carol, shout out to yourself.
Yeah, big up yourself.
If you're listening to our voices and it's relaxing you into a slumber, shout out yourself. I hope that we're giving you real, real good dreams. And if you're asleep and you've left it playing, then this is your secret super soldier activation code.
The 10 words.
10 words. Lasagna.
Railway.
Antelope.
Dale Winton.
Imagine if a Russian super soldier's activation code was Dale Winton.
Look, you have not seen Falcon and Winter Soldier there. It could happen.
It could happen. We haven't seen what Bucky needs.
Big news, like, guys. I am the guest writer on one episode.
There you go. And it is Bucky needing to hear the words Dale Winton.
Episode 7, Supermarket Suite.
Activation code. Okay, so we're going to go straight into the hot, spicy, buttery under the patio segment, which I wasn't actually going to do anymore because after this season, but these are bonus episodes. So after the season, I just wasn't even going to do it anymore. But I thought, you know what? And with the world famous critique, Hannah Flint. So I just thought, why don't we do a special, a bit,
I've had one or two vodkas. Give me a break.
That Kahlua's really hit, isn't it?
That Kahlua hits that spat. I thought, how about we do a movie special under the patio, which is things, not people. You notice, regulars will notice, I usually say people. Things in movies that you just kind of want to bury under the patio. Things that really piss you off about films, tropes, actors, things, whatever the I've said things already twice. I don't have much material, I'll be honest.
The thing, John Carpenter.
Things in cinema that really piss you off. And Hannah's got some suggestions hidden in her store, ready to hit me. But my one, before she goes, is...
He knows we're going to be here a while for me, so it's like getting yours quickly.
Let me get mine in. Okay, all right. And I tweeted about it actually recently and I deleted it because I fucking hate Twitter at the moment. I get freaked out, I get anxious. I tweet something and then I'm like, no one finds it funny, and then I delete it. So my one is, in films, when there's the scary person and then they're looking across the street and he stood across the street and then two cars pass.
Oh yeah, you saw this. Yeah, you texted me this, didn't you?
Yeah, and then he disappears. That pisses me off, man, because that's in every film. And I'll be honest, I'm a bit drunk. I've tried to do that before. It's really difficult.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waving to someone and I'm like, ooh, wait a second, this car's passing. Let me duck into the back. He's gone. That annoys me.
What was the movie that you watched that really like put you like in this frame of mind of like, fuck this fucking trope.
I saw it in one recently and I got so angry about it that I tweeted it and I don't even remember what the film was. You know what? It was Titanic. they were saying goodbye and then all of a sudden there was an iceberg.
He was behind the iceberg and then she looked away and come back round, he's gone.
So you know what? That was just to set you off on the right tone. Why don't you hit me with yours?
Well, my kind of quick and easy one is when women, specifically in action films, or you know, any type of film where someone is doing something active, is where they like don't have their hair tied up. There's a bit, and I'll bring this up as an example of what really irked me in a film that I love, Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. There's a bit where, like, throughout the film, like Tessa Thompson's character Valkyrie. She's got her hair tied up in a very specific style. And then suddenly, as she's fighting the big bad at the end, which is Hello, Kate Blanchett, she comes out of this spaceship with Thor and Hulk or whatever, whoever else is there, and suddenly her hair's down. And I'm like, babe, why would you take your hair down for like a massive fight? Any person with long hair will know that if you're doing anything active, you're going to tie that shit up. It just makes no sense because your hair just flips in your face. It's like in your eyes. It's annoying. The one movie that I've seen done it well is in Birds of Prey, which came out this year, where there's this big scene at the big finale scene.
That was one of the last films we saw in the cinema because I went with you.
Yeah. And there's a scene where, who is it? What's the name of... Journey Smollett Bell's, was that her name? Journey Smollett. Am I drunk? Her character is called Canary, I think, and she's got her hair down, looking all levels of fine, as they all do in Birds of Prey.
Of course.
But there's a bit where she's like, "Oh, hair's getting away," and then Harley's like, "Yo, do you want a hairband?" And she's like, "Oh," she said, "hair tie," because that was in America. It's like, "Yeah, I love it." And then she ties her hair up. I was like, "Yes, finally." So that's one of the big things that kind of irks me, the way that like women who have long hair do not tie their hair up for work or
Steven Seagal did
session.
It.
Yeah, you know what? We could all learn a lot.
Steven Seagal did it. He literally just, he's got it in a little fucking ponytail.
Done.
You know, like, look, I'm more in the Bruce Willis camp. You know,
we've got
no hair. We're ready to fight at any time.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to join you soon.
Do it. I mean, there's no problem with me trying to fight a Russian terrorist at the top of Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah, that's the only thing I was holding you back. I had long hair and, you know, it wasn't working. Now I've shaved it. I'm ready to go.
I'll be honest. There's a lot of times I could have been a superhero, but I had long hair.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
That was my like kind of...
That's a big one.
That's my medium one. You know what? That's a kind of like...
Extra medium.
That's like a medium, but my main one It's something that I've seen a lot this year. I don't know if you heard about this, but The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I've heard of The Rock.
Dwayne, you know him? Dwayne, who I've interviewed, he's a very nice guy. He's announced that he's making a remake of The Scorpion King.
Not interested.
Thank you very much. That's the right response. You passed the question. Okay. Have another shot of Kahlua. No, but what really annoys me on this, I've mentioned earlier, like I'm half Tunisian, mm-hmm. so I'm North African. I recently got my DNA heritage checked. I'm actually like proper like North African. But what I find really frustrating is that, you know, Scorpion King is part of, you know, the mummy, this kind of lineage of Hollywood films, which take place in North Africa, where it always positions non-North African people in central roles.
Yeah.
We've had Oscar Isaac, right? I love Oscar Isaac.
He's amazing.
I think he's Venezuelan. Please don't test me on that. But he's Latino. And you remember he played Apocalypse in X-Men, which is, again, Apocalypse is from, like, set in Egypt. He was, like, the whole bit in his opening sequence. He's now going to play, apparently he's going to play Moon Knight in MCU, which is a character that's actually, you know, Jewish in origin, in American Jewish, whose dad is a rabbi, but then suddenly gets imbued with these mystical powers of from an Egyptian god. You know, we've had gods of Egypt. You know, there's so many ways in which North Africa is used as the backdrop for stories where they don't even get an involvement in it. And it's really frustrating that once again, you know, with the announcement of this Scorpion King, that there doesn't seem to be anyone who's North African, who's like Egyptian, the very least. Like, you know, I'm so bored of like the only way that we talk about that region is if we position a white actor in it, or, you know, not a white actor, but like someone who's not of that region, or we do this whole mystical identity of it. I mean, like the Moon Knight thing is like, sorry, I keep bringing it up to MCU, but like Moonlight is the same, like, Iron Fist, you know what I mean? It's like we only see this kind of region in kind of mystical, magical senses, and we position them so much different, even though it's like kind of fresh, like stories. Like, you know, our mutual friend Amir Masri, like he's, you know, he's one of the few kind of Egyptian actors who's kind of coming out into the mainstream and able to show kind of like MENA, which is Middle East and North African representation, and actually position people who are from those regions to play those characters. And it's just kind of, yeah, for me, I'm just, as someone who has never seen, I suppose a lot of us, you know, when you're like from the diaspora, like I've never lived in Tunisia, but a lot of the stuff that we learn about the culture, we try and take from cinema or TV.
Or football.
No, exactly.
That's literally it. I'm so glad and happy that throughout the, I best guess, fucking hell, vodka. I guess that, with the past couple of years, even pre-corona, there's been a lot of people talking about this stuff, and I'm so happy about having conversations. I'm also quite happy with, I feel like when you used to have these conversations, not you personally, but people used to have them, there was a lot of, why do you have to bring up these things?
Yeah.
Why do you have to be so political all the time? Can't you just watch a film and enjoy it and just see that this white guy dressed up and just accept it? And I feel like now it's a lot more acceptable for people to actually call people up on it. And I've even seen it with the Miss Marvel show on MCU very recently, where people are saying, obviously she's supposed to be Pakistani, which she is, the actress, but then they're talking about... you know, a lot of the actors that have been cast not necessarily being from the right backgrounds. I'm really glad the conversation's happening, because it forces directors, casting agents, whoever, just to be like, okay, we actually feel the pressure now to do it. Fucking right, you should feel the pressure.
Yeah, and I think people kind of misunderstand the fact that the kind of politics within it, you know, if you're going to, I mean, you know, Miss Marvel as an example, you know, she's supposed to be, I'll tell you what, I interviewed the Russos for this other movie called Mosul, which is on Netflix right now. And it was about the kind of Iraqi special forces who kind of brought, like, saved the city, right? And, you know, at first you're like, oh, this is great. But then you realize that the person who made it, this guy, he's the writer and director of the film is a white guy. Mm. He did like Kingdom of Heaven, which is this movie with Jamie Foxx and Jennifer Garner a few years ago. But so I was like, and there was a lot of uproar with people who in the MENA community who are like, oh, wait a sec, why? If this is supposed to be such an authentic Iraqi story, why is a white man writing it and directing it? And what's so interesting, because when I went to Toronto Film Festival and I kind of wanted to get, I wanted to interview them to ask these questions, I feel as someone who's one, I suppose just for my position as someone who has access, you know, I want to broach these questions. I want to ask these questions. I want to promote and interrogate the way that like people who are from the Middle East and North Africa are represented on screen, especially in Hollywood, because I think it's also the people who are from the diaspora who aren't, you know, who live in the UK, who live in America, who kind of like, you know, we all take in pop culture and like Western culture in the same way, but we also have this kind of our heritage and our background that we either kind of position ourselves that we only see each other in negative ways. And this is one of the few ways where it's kind of positive because you've got Iraqi heroes. And what's interesting, they had like a director who was a consultant on it, but he was an award-winning director. It's like, well, why isn't he directing it, right? But I remember at the end of the conversation, because obviously the Russos directed, you know, Civil War, Winter Soldier, Endgame, Infinity War. I said, oh, so when do you reckon we're going to have like an Iraqi superhero? He goes, oh, well, we've got an Arab superhero, right? This is Joe. He's like, we've got an Arab superhero, right? Miss Marvel. And I'm like, she's Pakistani Muslim. It's that way that we kind of like...
bunched in together.
It's this kind of like other is like put into this one like mesh. I mean, it's complicated when you have an Indian actor playing a Pakistani character,
but it confuses the Western thing. It's like the same. It would be the same as me being like, oh, that American's doing it. Oh, it's just Australian. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's not saying you know, people say there's not people there. There's not enough actors and stuff. It's like, why is it there? Is it because they've been shut out? Like, are we not making opportunities for people from different backgrounds? Look at the films that could have Arab or, you know, even Arab doesn't even constitute, because not everyone considers Arab, but Middle Eastern, North African actors, you know, look at Aladdin.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's set in Agrabah. One of the songs is called Arabian Nights. You know, even in the new, version, they based all the kind of like production design on Moroccan places, so that, you know, North African. And, you know, they cast someone who was like half Indian. And it's like, once again, you're saying you're creating same this thing. Kind of like this kind of amalgamation of what the East is. And it's like what we talk about, like about Orientalism. It's like you're just creating this kind of one size fits all ethnicities for anyone with brown skin. And, you know, when The Rock played Scorpion King, like, I mean, he's Polynesian, I think, his background. You know, he's not that. And it's fun, you know, but he's also playing Black Adam, who's another Egyptian character. And it's like, well, you keep saying, oh, well, where are they? It's like, well, because you're not looking hard enough. You're not giving them space to actually come up. There's
so many incredible actors from that region. And like, all you have to do is look.
I think, you know, I've been watching a lot of like, trying to expand my horizons of what I'm watching. It's sometimes hard to get access to certain films because they're not distributed. Or, you know, because we have so many tentpole releases, like, you know, Endgame was in cinema for over a year, but what does that mean for other independent cinema that doesn't get to have that space in a cinema because we're so reliant on them?
Do you think that now, with cinemas playing less of an important role, unfortunately, in our current times, do you think that will even the playing field?
It's hard to say right now, because now we're getting to a situation where, you know, Warner is putting their next year of release. They've said next year of release, their 17 films are going to go onto HBO Max. I mean, that's them trying to save their streaming service, which hasn't done that well. You know, Disney are just announcing they're going to have so much more stuff on their Disney Plus, increasing, you know, creating a new whole thing called Stars or something to put more, you know, original content on. I mean, we have to accept the fact that the way that we're evolving, the way we consume entertainment has evolved.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that during this pandemic, we've seen Netflix putting films in cinemas. Like all of their new stuff, like Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Trial of Chicago 7, you know, they've all had theatrical windows.
Yeah.
I think we're just going to have to change it. But the thing is, like, I mean, you want to see things on the big screen. Like that experience is something that's amazing.
There's nothing better. Like,
I just hope it was spending less money on them. Like the amount that they spend on these films, like, bring back the mid-budget movie. Like, they spend $200 million on a film that can make 10 movies. Like, and then you're not reliant on these one film to make back all their box office and make more, right?
Look, if there's less Transformers films because of this, then I'm happy.
Yeah. Less Michael Bay.
If there's less Michael Bay...
Michael Nay.
Then I'll have another pandemic in 2021, please. Yeah. Like, the one film I've seen since this pandemic, since I saw, like, Birds of Prey with you, has been On the Rocks.
Yeah, what do you think with Bill
Murray. And, like, you know what? I loved that film. Because it was such a, like, it was such a quiet film.
Mm.
It was such... Have you seen it, I take it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Like, I found it was a really beautiful film in the fact that, like, not giving any twist or away or spoiler away, it kind of doesn't do the thing that you kind of expect it to do, and it was just more kind of plodded along like real life plods along. And Bill Murray was as problematic in it as you expected humans to be.
I just found with that, like, there was nothing about it that felt really interrogating what it set out to do. It just felt like it's clearly Sofia Coppola writing about her relationship with her own father, Francis Ford Coppola, I think it's, for people who don't know. Yeah, I felt like it didn't... I wasn't like that sold on it. It just seemed a whole lot of rich people faff about nothing.
Isn't that every film? Isn't that the Avengers?
Yeah, but at least they're like unlikable characters. Like, there's no, but like, at least that's
that is
fair.
Literally the Avengers.
Hey, Steve Rogers, he doesn't come from money. It's so interesting how we like billionaires who are superheroes, but like, then there's Jeff Bezos is like, oh,
we love Iron Man, but I fucking hate Elon
Musk.
I love
Iron Man, sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Someone said.
I just watched the fucking Letterman thing with Robert Downey Jr., which was, it was fascinating. And I do like him. I do. And but then that's just, we're confusing film characters with humans. But
because they play themselves on screen, and that's why you confuse them, because they basically play themselves.
True. But, you know, we like so many celebrities that are fucking multi-millionaires. We relate to George Clooney, for example, because I've always loved George Clooney. And he's so, so, so rich.
Yeah.
We relate to, like, all of these people that we see on screen and in interviews, and we think they're wonderful, loving human beings.
I mean, I don't relate to them. I did relate to the bit. Did you read that interview that you did recently? Well, first of all,
what, Big George?
I hope I'm going to be counted in one of the friends that you give $1 million to.
We didn't even say that on air, though. I was saying to Hannah that when I died, whether I would give you money.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You can have my money.
Yeah, good. That'll be a transfer of £1.53.
£1.53. No, get yourself a goddamn meal deal sandwich, baby.
You know what? It's so weird, isn't it? Like, I'm 32. You're
35. I'm 35. I'm proud. I'm an old man.
It's so weird to think, like, oh, now do we have to get wills? And like, what are my assets? It's like, my asset is
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. Grogu.
Hey, sorry. What would you name baby? I'm gonna call him Baby Yoda right now, because Grogu is a fucking gross name.
I wonder if it's like Jon Favreau's like kid came up with Grogu. I don't mind Grogu. I think for me, he's Grogu because he is Grogu, and that's what he is officially. That's canon. Is Grogu, it's canon. Yeah. Okay, it's canon. No, Grogu.
It's fair enough. Look, I've got a stupid name. It's fine.
Sorry, I'm munching these things now because we've had quite a few to drink, and I need to have love corn.
Love corn.
P.S. We're crunchy. We're delicious.
I just got loads of out of date corn snacks because I've been volunteering, and I don't say that in a comic relief. Let's all go to Africa and pretend that we're helping people way. I'm not trying to say it like that.
I can do that because I'm North African. I got a DNA test.
Just saying, if you can, everyone out there, if you can in this time, do some volunteering, man. You know, not in the empathetic, unselfish way. You get to help people, and it's really lovely. In the completely selfish way, it makes you feel better for being alive.
You know what? Do you remember that episode of Friends where it's like, where Joey was like, there's no such thing as selfless charity? And I was like, yeah, of course there's not. It makes you feel great. Like,
it makes you feel wonderful.
Like, there's nothing wrong with feeling good about doing good things. That should be your incentive to do good things because it makes you feel good.
Makes you feel good, man.
Like, last Christmas.
No, sorry. I've heard it now.
Oh, no, I'm again and I've ruined
it. I hadn't heard it yet. Sorry. I hadn't heard it yet. I hadn't even watched the fucking Amelia
Alexa,
What's Her Face film.
And,
like, I hadn't even seen that. And like, you know how I know it's Christmas? I got two rules. I probably said it last... No, I didn't say it last... I say it every year. Two rules. It's not the last Christmas. It's not fucking Wham. It's Have I Heard Stay Another Day?
I won't sing it. Have you heard it?
I haven't heard it yet.
Okay, I won't sing it.
So I haven't heard Stay Another
Alexa.
Day yet.
So.
I haven't heard it yet. That means it's not Christmas. Okay? Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, Hannah Flint. I'll be honest with you. Some years I ain't heard it, therefore it ain't Christmas.
Oh, well.
Therefore, I don't even have Christmas because I have to stay another day.
Christmas does not exist.
It doesn't exist.
But then you hear it in like July, and you're like,
I hear it in July. Okay, woo! I'm ready, guys.
Woo!
All right, kids, you can finally have your presents. It's July. I've heard the song. The other one is Two Become One. Have I heard Two Become One yet? No.
Oh my God, that's
it
such
ain't
a
Christmas.
Such a good Christmas song.
It's such a great Christmas song. People don't think that two
but
human entities.
But you know what's so interesting is that Spice Girls released Goodbye.
Wait, it was a Christmas song.
No, but it released at Christmas. It was Christmas number one, I believe.
Yeah,
do you remember?
Then when was Two Become? That one must have been a Christmas song because it was a fucking deer in the video.
It might have been released around Christmas. Maybe
it's got to be. Why they're wearing winter jackets? They there's a deer hanging out.
You
on the
do
street.
Realize we live in the UK. It calls for winter jackets quite often.
Hey, it's winter from fucking August the 1st until
I love
May
that.
The
imagine,
1st.
Imagine that it's Game of Thrones. It's like winter is May to May till August.
Yeah,
that's the official tagline for
winter. Is not coming. It's just it's constantly here.
Yeah,
this is it. No, you know what? I miss the days of watching TFI Friday.
God, that was so long ago. God, Chris Evans,
A Big Breakfast.
Like, you're really showing your
show my age. That's real. It's real depressing. I'm gonna get real depressing right now.
I know.
I miss Big Breakfast and Donna Air.
You know what I miss? I miss SMTV Live. I love that fucking show.
That was the best TV show ever made.
It was.
That was better than The Wire.
And I watched The Wire. Oh my God. Like, I watched The Wire for the first. So this, like we said, this has been a year of watching things that you've never seen. I watched The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's so good, isn't it?
In 2005, I lived in Washington, D.C., which is, if you don't know, there's no shame in that. I'm not trying to single you out. It's very close to Baltimore, where The Wire was filmed, and about 40-minute drive. And so I was down in Baltimore quite a lot. Shout out the bottle. Don't worry, it's got a lid on it. I did go to, like, the hood where they filmed The Wire around
really?
That time though in Baltimore.
I'd love to go Baltimore. There
because I recorded a song down there with a rapper called Salim. My second experience with Baltimore, and I don't know if I've ever told anyone this,
exclusive
was when I was supposed to be an extra in a film that at the time was called High School Musical. This is in 2005.
No, but like actual High School Musical.
So I don't know. I don't know if I've mentioned this publicly, but
Wildcats.
Sorry. I've never seen the film.
I've never seen it either. I don't know what you're about.
So I went down there. I was going out with a sorority girl cheerleader. Mm-hmm. No, she was like a swim league, whatever. America, where I lived over there in 2005, and we went on. It was a Gumtree thing, like needing extras. And so she drove down there and to do this. We went down, it was high school, it was like labeled, you know, everything has code names, the films. This is called High School Musical. I got there on set and I was in Baltimore.
Oh wait, is it Step Up?
Turned out it was Step Up.
Sorry, I totally ruined it there. But I was like, Baltimore, High School Musical, but it's not High School Musical.
I mean, you ruined
I'm
it.
I'm so sorry.
But it was Step Up.
Sick.
I didn't have the right visa. They didn't let me in. So she was
You've
in
told
it.
Me about this.
Yeah.
This is why I'm probably guessed it. But yeah.
So
original one with Jenna Dewan and Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. And like, I was there. I was supposed to be in it.
I could have been in Step Up 3, Take the Kingdom, you know.
I could have been in Step Up 6, fat guy doing a dance.
No, I was in, when I was a kid, my earliest claim to fame, Swish His Hair Back. I did Swish His Hair Back for the benefit of the podcast. I was on Playdays back in the day with Dave Benson Phillips. He came to my school in London.
Big Dave.
Yeah, Big D. Didn't say that at the time. But we did a game with bags of bean bags, like small ones you throw at people. Well, you didn't throw it at people, but you know, people.
Hacky sacks in America.
Hacky sack film.
Schindler's List.
She's All That. Wow.
Okay, I've never seen Schindler's List. Oh, no, wait, I have
seen. You haven't seen the classics, have you?
I don't see classic films. I'm not interested.
It's not a classic.
I ain't seen Grease.
You haven't seen Grease?
I ain't seen Grease.
Absolutely. Get out of my face. How have you not seen Grease? Right, so we've got Grease. We've got...
Titanic.
No, you saw it.
No, recently I saw it. Dirty Dancing recently.
No, there was another one you hadn't seen. I was like, oh, Bend It Like Beckham.
Never seen it.
Yes. Right, okay. Right, let's just... You know what? It's fine. I'm cool. I'm chill. Grease is on...
Why would I watch Grease? What part of my life would suggest that I would ever have the need to watch Grease?
It's not about a need, it's about a necessity.
When I was out there on the streets selling drugs.
It's the streets what raised me.
When I was listening to Noriega, when would I need to listen? When would I need to watch Grease?
Oh God, yeah. You know, I really love to see like our like Spotify most playlist, and it'd be me like Moana.
Yeah, mine's Noriega, Super Thug.
Mine's like Into the Unknown, Frozen 2. Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, look, I want to watch Grease. Like, I've never, I didn't even know who John Travolta was.
I feel like we should only appreciate John Travolta within a certain amount of time, because after he did Battlefield Earth, it's like that's when we should just cut it off. Be like, no more.
I think I've nearly finished my bottle of vodka. we got so many toys and tobacco and half-eaten seaweed packets on the table. Okay, so here we go. Non-serious conversation. This is what I ask everyone. If you could eat... let me sip this. If you could eat... a creature from film or... It's been a long time. From film or TV, what would you eat and how would you eat it? My answer is the long dog from Neverending Story. That's my...
You know what? I was thinking about that today. I was thinking about that because it looks like Harry Styles, his face. What's his name?
Not Atreyu, that was the horse. You know what the mad thing is? Every episode I've said, oh, what's his name? And someone's told me what his name was. I don't fucking remember. You know why? I don't listen to people and I don't give a fuck what they got to say.
No, also, Never-Ending Story, false advertisement. It ended.
It ended. Those fucking lying ass bitches. You know what I mean? That fucking ended and here I am waiting.
I want my money back.
Hey, give me my money back.
Well, his Never-Ending Story 13. That's what I want to know.
You know what? I'd like to be in Never-Ending Story 13. No. End harder. What would be two never two ending? Okay,
13.
The Tokyo Drift. So, what would you eat and how'd you cook it?
So I've got two things. So I'm going to go first one. So you remember that scene in The Little Mermaid where they sing Under the Sea? Mm-hmm. I would eat every single one of those fish, but I would catch them.
Okay.
And I'd prepare them into a paella.
Delicious.
A seafood paella. First, I'd have to Google how to make a paella.
Yeah, yeah, fair play. You've got to get that saffron. You've got to get that special rice.
Okay, so what I'd get is Corin to make the paella.
Yeah, fine.
And
deal.
I would drink while watching and, you know, manage the situation. Sounds but wouldn't great. It be good? Like, there's so many fish in that situation. I think it'd be the perfect seafood paella.
I mean, there's a lot of fish there. And, you know, I'm sure there's mussels hanging out in the back. I'm sure there's, like, lobsters around, probably. I mean, it's the sea.
There's definitely...
It's the sea. There's
definitely
some
carp, because the carp play the harp.
Is that what they do? Okay.
And there's, like, the... The bass play the bass.
Why are they all Jamaican?
I mean, you wouldn't get a lot from Sebastian because he's a pretty tiny. And as we saw in that situation,
just punch him to death anyway.
But yeah, I'd like to get the sea creatures of undersea into a seafood paella. I think that'd be great.
I mean, delicious. I would arrive at that party.
Yes, it sounds so good. It's right.
I'd eat and then I'd leave.
So I'd have that. That'd be one. And then I'd also, so this summer, I've kind of learned how to like fry things.
Mm.
I watched this episode of Ugly Delicious and a specific one about fried chicken.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this looks really great. So I've been making a lot of I made fried chicken, but I've also made fried fake chicken and also made fried prawns and stuff. But what I'd really like to do, I think porgs would be a perfect little, porgs from Star Wars.
Yeah, the shit Star Wars. Would you have a side of blue milk?
Wait, what are you saying? Are you saying Last Jedi's shit?
Of course it was fucking piece of shit. It was the worst piece of shit film I've ever seen.
Like, wow. You know,
you didn't even argue with me when I said that about Clockwork Orange, but you're okay. Now you're ready to fight.
Because Last Jedi was great.
Like, Last Jedi is
What's your damage? What's your damage, Heather? What's your damage with Last Jedi? What the fuck? Like, honestly, are you right now?
Which one was the blue milk?
That was The Last Jedi.
Was it?
Wait, why did you hate The Last Jedi?
Why was he gargling blue milk?
Wow, oh my God, my mind is like blown. Didn't I take you to see Last Jedi?
No.
That's why I didn't know. This is the first. This is brand new information. Sorry, what?
All of the Star Wars, apart from Mandalorian, are fucking shit.
I mean, I can't even engage in this conversation.
Mandalorian is the best piece of cinema that Star Wars has ever done.
Mandalorian, though, is fucking sick. You didn't like Rogue One?
Rogue One was fucking amazing.
Okay, fine.
No,
fine.
Rogue One was I loved Force Awakens as well. Like, when I watched that in the cinema, I was so excited and the themes came
I don't know
up.
Why you didn't like Last Jedi. I mean, I think what was really good about Last Jedi is that it kind of confronted the toxic masculinity of us Galaxy Far Away, finally.
Yeah, look, great. I love that. I love the themes of it. But it was a shit film.
What do you mean? Like, honestly, you need to expand on this. I need, like, give me your details. Give me 500 words.
Could I have a wank in The Last Jedi? No. Well, it's a shit.
Oh, wow. Okay. No. And it all comes out.
No, I don't know. I didn't enjoy it as a film. I just didn't.
Yeah, that's so wild to me because I just think it really usurped your expectations of what a Star Wars film is. And like,
I'm
going
to rewatch it because of you.
What did you watch? Did you watch Rise of Skywalker?
I did. I've seen them all. Which one was the last one?
Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, that was shit.
Would you like my poster? I got a free one at D23. I refused to put it up.
That was a terrible film.
It was, see, now we're getting there. That was a bad film.
When Luke Skywalker suckled blue milk from some weird creature, I was out.
Why though? That was so jokes. That was like, yo, we're not gonna. But that's. But wouldn't you imagine that? Stop. Yeah, but stop. Right, stop. Just stop for a second. Stop. No, but can you not just imagine that? Like, if that happened in The Mandalorian, you'd be like, yo, that's fucking sick. Star Wars. Like,
my guy, big Pedro,
Jin Jar Jin.
Can I just say also, yeah, like. This is the one time that I'll say this. Yeah. So I was in the back of a car with Pedro Pascal.
Of course you were.
You know what? Because it's bullshit. I don't ever want anyone to feel alienated to that shit. I don't live that life of hanging out with people like that. But I will say this. Me and Big Dog Pedro had a really
Me and my best friend, Pedro.
I will say this. Me and my best pal.
Peddy.
Me and P-Dog.
It's a kind of with Ped.
No, you know what? He was a lovely guy. We had such a lovely chat. And we just had a lovely journey home. And you know what? Big Pascal was like, tell me all about making music. But anyway, Mandalorian is the best piece of cinema. and honestly, if Mandalorian was released as movies, fucking hell.
I think there's something. I wrote a piece this year for Elle about how it should be the blueprint for future Star Wars outings.
Mm.
I think what it does, I think what's so good about it is, I think what we found with The Force Awakens and the legacy trilogies that we've had, Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker, It's the obsession with the Skywalkers. It's like,
who gives a fuck?
There's a whole fucking galaxy far, far away. Let's talk about other things. And I think what's amazing.
Skywalker was fucking weird, man. He's trying to fuck his sister. I'm not interested. Like, there's a lot of other shit going on in that galaxy.
There's so much stuff. I mean, I've in recent years started to like read some of the comics. And also, I've recently been watching, like, I don't know if you watched The Clone Wars, the animated series.
Never seen it.
Which really, I think if you're enjoying Mandalorian, really recommend going back and watching the animated series on Disney Plus for, like, Clone Wars, Rebels, just to get a bit of a backstory about what's been going on in between the times of The Clone Wars, but also, like, you know, where the Mandalorian is, because it's actually a very small space of time if you kind of think about it. And it's so intriguing, and you're getting so much more diversity and getting so much more like narrative texture to the way it's shot. I mean, everyone talks about it being a space western, but in recent episodes we're seeing, you know, so much of like Chambara, like this kind of Japanese influence on the films. Like, I Peyton Reed an episode this season that was very much like a real proper like B movie horror, which felt like The Thing meets like Eight Legged Freaks. It was just this, it's usurping cool. what you think about what a Star Wars film is to open up to what it's like when you're focused on a place that is not confined by the Skywalker narrative.
Yeah.
I think it's so important. And there's so much, like, I mean, I'm waiting for like a Dr. Aphra movie, which is, or a series maybe, but Dr. Aphra is this amazing kind of anti-hero. You don't know if she's kind of like Indiana Jones, but she's less moral.
Never even heard of her.
Right. So she turned up in Darth Vader's, like the comic books, and the ones where you kind of, you know, in between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, right? You know, in New Hope, like the Death Star gets blown up. And you have to imagine, like, well, Darth Vader's going to get in fucking shit for that. Like, he's not going back to the Empire, like, oh, big hero, is he? It's like he's allowed the Death Star to get broken. So it's kind of like focused on those areas, those in-between bits, in-between, like, films to understand, contextualize, like, what they went through. And introducing into this kind of area is Dr. Aphra, who's like this, like, female, she's like queer, she kind of like, she's out for herself, she's just trying to find, you know, all these kind of she's an archaeologist turns slash adventurer. She kind of has she's kind of like the Mandalorian, and like she has this kind of like murky sense of right and wrong, but she does have a kind of code that stops her from being totally bad.
Yeah,
it's like, honestly, it's so good. I'm waiting for that to Dr. for her to Aphra. Come
okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to Google her.
Aphra, Dr. Aphra.
Who would play Dr. Aphra?
She'd have to be someone who's like East Asian, maybe. I think that's what Kieran Gillen kind of invented the character. And he does, Kieran Gillen writes What's Its Face with Jamie McKelvey. What's that? The Wicked Divine. Yeah, and it's so good. And I like... I don't know, who would you get? You could get someone like a Gemma Chan character, kind of, but maybe someone who's like Maya Erskine. Do you see, know Maya Erskine? Have you seen Pen 15? I think it's what it's called, Pen 15. It's this comedy series on Sky Atlantic, and it's about like adult, like there's two best friends who are kind of going to school in 2000 or early noughties, but they're adults playing their like 13-year-old versions of themselves. It's an amazing comedy. But yeah, I'd honestly love to see it.
I've never even heard of that show, so you're gonna have to send it to me.
Yeah.
But what I will say, okay, so we're wrapping it up ish because I'm drunk.
I know, we don't want to get any lawsuits. So I we don't like want I'm about
any
to
lawsuits.
Like...
So what I will say is, Hannah Flint, to the world, it is Christmas. I'm going to be releasing this at Christmas. What I will say is, what advice after the shit show of 2020 would you want to give to people, everyone out there? What would you say to people, your friends, your countrymen? What would you say to people in 2020? Like, what would you advise them for this Christmas? How do they feel? Where they feel so lost?
Yeah.
Can you help them feel discovered?
Yeah, I just think give yourself a break. It's been such a weird year, and it's so hard because I think some people have been doing kind of well, feeling good, I'm taking this, but other people haven't. And just, you know, allow this time to just kind of chill, watch the shows that you want to watch. Don't set yourself any kind of like, you know, wait till the New Year's to set yourself resolutions. Like, this is the perfect time to eat the shit that you want, drink the shit that you want, and just don't even get dressed. Like, seriously, don't get dressed. Like, just wear your pajamas.
It's a lie.
Like, honestly, it's bullshit. Wear your pajamas all the time. Who wants to get dressed up? Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Wear your pajamas. So that's my biggest advice. Wear your pajamas.
Okay, buy some pajamas. Wear your pajamas.
Buy some pajamas. And then wear them. And then literally don't wash them so that you've got a nice homely feel of them. And then when it's like January 1st, burn them and burn 2020.
Burn 2020. Burn your friends. Burn your...
Burn.
Burn everything.
Burn.
Burn your...
Burn.
Burn your house down.
Yeah.
Burn it all. Because they can't get you, just change your name and leave the country. And that is our advice for 2020. Get a new passport. I just
new passport. It takes a while, actually, doesn't it? Get a new passport.
I just did it recently, and I got a blue one.
Did you get a blue one?
I had to get it. Mine
was you're so Brexit.
I'm so Brexit.
I can't wait.
Right,
hopefully, by the time in 2027, I can get a normal one.
It's not. Yeah, true.
Who cares though? Who cares if it's blue or red?
You know what? I obviously, everyone knows. Come on, it'd be quite contradictory if I was pro Brexit right at this point. For everyone knowing my political opinions, but can I just say, despite political opinions, aesthetically, quite a nice little passport.
It looks good.
Actually looks all right. So there are upswings to all of this. Can I just say, before I say any sign outs, make sure if you're listening to this before Christmas, if you are listening to it after Christmas, ignore this. Maybe even pause it now, delete the podcast, put on your episode of Stuff You Should Know or whatever other podcast. But if you listen to it before Christmas, I just want to say, enjoy yourself, drink something lovely, and, you know, Hannah's having a Dorito right at this moment. You know,
wow, like, call me out.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no secrets here. Like, eat whatever's in front of you. It doesn't matter. Just enjoy yourself, love yourself, and be happy with where you are, because you're wonderful, you're existing, and you survived 2020. I had fucking corona and I survived 2020.
Yeah.
We've all lost people in this year and it's been horrible. And all we can do is just continue on to be our best selves.
Yes.
And that is all I will say. And don't be too hard on yourself and be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice for this year. And take time next year, if we can travel, to go and travel. That is my advice. I don't know if I will even do more podcasts or episodes of this podcast. So the one thing I say was, take time next year, if we can, to travel and enjoy yourself. That's all I will say.
And buy pajamas.
Buy some fucking pajamas, man. I don't even have any. I just wear fucking trackies in the daytime.
Getting a pair of PJs for Christmas, son.
I wear trackies in the day, trackies in the night. I wear trackies all the time. The same ones. I don't even change out of them. This is the same ones that I wake up in, the same thing I'm sleeping in. I'll be honest with you. So why don't you buy some goddamn PJs. That's all I say. Hannah Flint. Actually, you know what? What's your prediction for 2021? Let's hear it. Let's throw it.
My prediction for 2021, we survive.
We survive. That's a good prediction.
That's my prediction. Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? Like, what to think about. I hope we're going to get a Mandalorian season 3. Mm-hmm. I hope personally, I'm going to go travel, like you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hoping that once fucking Trump goes, sorry to bring up Trump. God, we did a whole fucking session without Trump.
I forgot about him.
But like, I just kind of want us to like focus on the kind of things that are less massive and focus on the actual issues that are affecting us on a daily basis. Like, I want Brexit to be done. I want this pandemic to be done so we can actually focus on the other things that need to be sorted in our country. Yeah, like, you know, homelessness, systemic racism. Like, let's give this actually time it deserves rather than, you know, pushing it to the wayside.
Talking and listening.
Yeah. But also, I would really like a Marvel movie released in cinemas.
Of course. No, I agree with you. I agree. Yeah. I'd really like to watch a Marvel film.
I want to take you to a movie, babe.
Oh, man. I want to be there. Yeah. Thank you, Hannah. Everyone else. I mean, just get, look, I'll be honest. Keep drinking. Get every booze you can find and just fucking drink it. I'll be honest, because it's the only way. If you can get your hands on Valium, fucking take it. We're all in for a little rocky road for the next little while, so do that. And you know, if there's a vaccine, fucking have it. Who gives a fuck?
It's free drugs.
It's free drugs. Oh my god, it's free drugs. Give me some of them. So good luck to you and everyone else. I hope this is a good little time capsule for the future. That was part two featuring Hannah Inez Flint. Thank you so much to Hannah. And you know what? I'm not thanking anyone else, because it was just us two. And we were socially distanced and careful, in case you were worried or in case you're the police. So that's what happened. Thanks to Trying Podcast will return at some stage. Do not worry. But before then, tell your friends about the... How many episodes I've done? About the 40 episodes I've done already. Make sure you go back and listen to them. Those ads that you hear on this, they don't pay me very much at all, I'll be honest. So, you know, just keep them on repeat, send them to some people, and let's hope for the fucking best. And you know what? Go listen to my music. If you like this music you're hearing under this, under me talking right now, and you want to hear me rap because you haven't had enough of me from this, then go listen to The Last Skeptic on Spotify, Amazon, blah, blah, blah. You know all the fucking services and what they're called. If you don't, this is probably pointless me saying it anyway. So thank you again. Look after yourselves, please. It's a very, very, very difficult time. And check in on the people you love and the people you don't love. Just check in on everybody. Just do that. And keep your head up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.